Amen. Well, you could be seated, and I just want to say good morning to you again, church, and I hope that you're all really doing well, and I also hope that you all had a great Thanksgiving. In fact, what I want to do this morning is if anyone, you know, just has a brief testimony of how maybe they saw God move within themselves or maybe within their family this past week as you got together maybe with some family for a meal or something, we would love to be encouraged by that, okay, this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray as you consider what the Lord maybe would put on your heart to share with us to encourage that. And then after I pray, we got Bob with a microphone. We're just going to take a couple of those to see just how God's maybe moving in your life, all right? So let's go to our Heavenly Father together. Lord, we come together, Lord, thanking you. Thanking you for this, again, this opportunity to worship, Lord, because you are the worthy one. So I just pray that as we continue in this worship service together as your body, your bride, that you would guide us, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would lead us to become more like your son. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so does anybody just have like a quick testimony to God's goodness this week? You just want to share to encourage us? This is what the church does, is encourages one another. Right here.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for this Thanksgiving was very, very special too because my family were in Israel. There was my son-in-law and my two grandchildren, and they were caught there on the day of October 7th. So the Lord brought them home safely, and we were able to be reunited on Thanksgiving last week.
Amen.
They were able to come up. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Anybody else? Just how did you see God working around you, in you? All right.
I just wanted to praise God for the overall message of hope that was shared with my family on Thanksgiving and just coming together and giving opportunities to share Christ with them.
Amen. Amen. All right, one more. Anybody? All right, I see one back there. Cool, cool.
No problem.
He can move almost as quick as me, right?
I just want to thank God for what promised to be a very difficult Thanksgiving as we lost my mom this year, and it was the first holiday after her loss. But we came together and just familied. I don't know how else to put it. Everybody was enjoying everybody else's company, and it was really a blessing.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing, and I'm sure like you had something maybe in your heart to just know that the Lord, he likes those praises and those thanksgivings. So share those with him in your time together with him. So with that this morning, what I really want to do is I want to challenge us all, okay, this morning, to really remain firm in our faith, okay? Remain firm in what we believe as Christians. Now, that may sound simple, but it's good to come back to some of these core things every once in a while. So I want to encourage us to remain firm in those things. Now, I'm also assuming in saying that, I'm assuming that there are some non or not yet Christians among us, which is fantastic. You are welcomed here. And for you, I believe by just discussing what we will discuss this morning, I believe that could help you to take a step towards perhaps placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Because here is something that I believe, okay? I believe that a fair portion of what is keeping people and maybe you from him, or even what causes what I may call infant Christians or people newer to their faith from going deeper in their faith with him, what I think could cause that could be people like me, okay? Meaning people of faith who often sadly disgrace it or damage it by how we live it out and by the things, even theological things, that sadly sometimes take us away from the foundation of our faith, which is Christ and him crucified, only to rise again, conquering sin and death, to offer us, to offer you, to offer all life today and life eternal. You see, when people like me or proclaiming Christians like many of you in this room, when we start to get off track from that, the core message, or even when we start to become overly concerned with what I'll call things that we ought not under the label of our faith, to the point of it causing division in the body of believers, or to the point of it overshadowing the essentials of our faith, or to the point of it looking anything like the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the self-control that is to be the fruit of our faith and the growing result of it, when that happens, taking us astray from the beauty of the gospel message, I gotta tell you, that confuses a watching world. And they don't want anything to do with this faith of ours. There's enough drama in this life, they say. And there's enough pain, there's enough strife already, so no thank you. If that's how your faith plays out, no thank you. That's what they may say. And many of them run for the hills. And I gotta say, who could blame them, okay? Because truth be told, some Christians make me want to run for the hills. Now, none in here, of course, okay? But does this resonate with any of you? Does it just make some sense to you? I mean, have you ever just found yourself disenfranchised with believers to the point that it negatively impacted your faith in Christ or threatened to do so? If you've ever been there, then I think, okay, you can see how you, if you are a believer, you want to avoid being one of those people, right? For the sake and ultimately the salvation of others, guys. I mean, if we truly want to, as we should, because it is our primary calling. So if we truly want to see other people come to faith in Jesus Christ, then we better do all we can do to not stray too far, to not confuse, to not dilute our main message. And on the flip side of that coin, if you're here today and you're just considering or checking out your faith, or if you're on the verge of shrinking back from your faith because of how you see other Christians living theirs out, I just want you to wrestle today with the question, should you be doing that? Should you be so fickle or no? I mean, maybe that's where you find yourself today. Maybe you've been let down by other believers, hurt, manipulated, confused. Your trust in them is low. And for that, I say on behalf of all believers everywhere, I say I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry for that. But maybe you're here to give it another try. If so, I'm glad you're here, because for all of us here in this room this morning, believer or non, or believer hanging on by a thread because of how other proclaiming believers have impacted you, well, for all of us this morning, I think what God has for us can be life and faith changing, okay? As we consider keeping the foundation of our primary faith the focus of things. And as we consider the damage it can cause when it doesn't remain the focus of things. And as we recognize the ease with which that can happen where it does not remain the focus. It doesn't take much to get off track from that. Now, with all of that said, I got to tell you that this dilemma that I'm talking about, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. For in the book of 1 Timothy from our Bible, which is where we'll be today, we see Paul, Timothy's mentor, writing to Timothy because of this, because of what we just talked about. You see, that was becoming the case in the early church. So Paul addresses this, and he encourages Timothy as a young church leader to keep the main thing the main thing. So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3. As I urged you when I was in Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people to not teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to what, church? Meaningless talk. Now, it's pretty clear from that reading, okay, that during Timothy's time of ministry, that there were competing theologies surrounding him everywhere. And that people were focused on, perhaps even obsessed with, things beyond the essence of the gospel. Again, the good news that Jesus came to forgive sins, and that forgiveness was available to all, and that it could be received by all in order to have a lasting peace with God the Father. In other words, in Timothy's day, people, okay, church people, they had clearly become obsessed with ancillary or trivial matters, meaningless talk. Now, perhaps I will say interesting matters to maybe think about or even debate some, but in their proper setting, you see, and with the proper people, but not, mind you, to the sacrifice or to the overshadowing of focusing on and sharing and being obsessed with the true pure gospel, the foundation of our faith, again, Christ and what he did. So that was clearly going on in Timothy's day. And I can confidently say that's not much different than today. You see, Paul was warning Timothy then, and he warns you and I as believers to stay away from religious speculation, to stay away from pointless theological arguments. I mean, how many of you, just think about this for a second, answer it yourself, how many of you have found yourself in seemingly endless conversations, possibly even theological conversations, about stuff that really doesn't matter for our salvation and other people's salvation? Maybe even an endless social media thread, right? I'm sure we've all been there, and we could probably all look back and see how it was anything but beneficial. And dare I say, likely a complete waste of time. Point being, church, that as Christ followers, we need to continually be aware of something. We need to be aware of our own interests and how they often compete with the interests of Christ. Did you hear me? We have to be aware of our own interests and how they often compete with the interests of Christ. You see, such conversations and even arguments within the body, they may start out innocent and they may start out healthy, but they again can easily crowd out the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, we can't afford that. We can't afford that if we are going to maximize our impact for his glory by introducing people to him and his life-saving and life-changing message. Now, you might be thinking, you know, Pastor Keith, you're talking about a lot of stuff. What's a good example of this? What's a good example of all that you're talking about? Well, I got to tell you, I can give you a pretty easy one. Now, it is one that you and I got to warn you, we're sick of talking about, okay? But it is one that I single-handedly observe people walking either away from church or away from their faith altogether. And this thing, it was called COVID. Now again, I know we're all over it, okay? We're over it. But in saying that, if you lost a loved one through it, my condolences go out to you. But this subject of COVID, it just really provides an incredible example of what we're talking about today. And it also is a good example to use as a backdrop for when we find ourselves in some other conversations in the future. You see, throughout COVID, I watched and I received and I debated and I navigated many conversations, many opinions. And I know so many other pastors did as well. And it came to the point where it was literally insane. I mean, people, okay, Christians, we're arguing about masks, right? And we as Christians, we were arguing amongst ourselves about vaccines. And we were eventually politicizing all of it. And then eventually, even trying to politicize Christianity. Everyone was right, and everyone was wrong. Again, making it literally an insane thing to navigate, a nightmare. I mean, I'd watch people leave Revive even because our message didn't align with their political agenda or their viewpoint over masks, meaning their feelings about that were eclipsing. They were eclipsing their feelings really about how we were doing together at preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, instead of preaching the love and the redemption and the grace and the mercy of Jesus, we were expected to preach how masks were enslavement, how they were persecution on one side of the aisle, okay? And on the other side of the aisle, how they were our salvation. But let me ask you this, okay? Did wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, did that have any impact on what Jesus did for you and I on that cross? Some people thought so. Some people thought so. Again, looking back, it's just a little cray-cray, and I fell into some of that too. It's a little cray-cray, a little insane. I mean, was the vaccine the mark of the beast? Some people thought and think so. Well, other Christians who I am confident that you will see in heaven, they thought no way. They think no way. And I got to tell you, what you or I think about all of that, that is not my primary concern this morning. But what is my concern is that through all of that insanity, church, what was threatened more than anything was the pure love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that message, the message of redemption, the message of forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, those years, they were some of the most divisive years in my time in ministry. Now, yes, we need to stand up, okay, for our beliefs. We need to stand up for our values. But that one, again, it just got a little, it got a lot out of control on both ends of the spectrum. As I believe people started standing up for things that really didn't matter in the scope of eternity when you think about it. COVID had really turned into its own religion, fostering hatred, fostering resentment, fostering distrust. And I'm sure of something, okay? You know what I'm sure of? Here's what I'm sure of. I'm sure that the enemy, our enemy, the enemy of God, Satan, I'm sure he loved every second of that. He loved it. He loved it because of the division caused within the body of believers, making us look ridiculous in so many ways to a seeking and a looking on world. And as I have reflected on it, I think that the virus of the enemy infiltrating our communities and our churches through such arguments and divisions, I got to tell you, that may have been worse than the physical virus itself. Now, it's clear that we could talk on this for a while as an example of things or topics that threaten or drown out our focus on unity and the foundations of our faith. And I'll be the first to admit I don't have all the answers in regards to which side of each parts of the arguments of COVID. I don't know which ones were right and which were wrong. But if I had to pick, I would say both, okay? Both sides were right. And both sides were wrong in some ways, and primarily wrong from elevating the time and the energy debating COVID at the expense of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me be clear, okay? It is okay to wonder about. It is okay to have conversations regarding issues of theology and scripture and the application of it, and those debates can be fun to even have sometimes, but my point is that they can easily get out of control. Now, some other common examples of this may be, you know, discussions and debates about whether people have free will or if we're all predestined. Meaning with free will that we can choose our faith in God and in many ways co-author our life with him or no. And does he under predestination, does he only allow who he allows to be saved? And does he pre-order everything in our life or not? Many people, many denominations spend countless time considering all of this. Now, another thing many people, you know, spend a lot of time trying to prove, trying to figure out is the age of the earth, for example. Again, interesting, important, but secondarily to the essence of the gospel, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there's the biggie of how will and when will the end times come, right? That's a biggie. But our salvation is more primary than that. Now, besides those things, we can also find ourselves talking about social issues, right, and political issues. But again, the problem is that these conversations, they can just too easily turn into divisive arguments and precious time suckers. Into that, we must remember, church, we must remember passages like Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15, which says this: make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now that's a challenging verse, isn't it? That's a challenging verse. I would encourage you this morning, ask the Lord to search you this morning, to reveal the truth to you this morning, and to give you the humility to receive it this morning, whether you, in fact, are or are not making every effort to live at peace with everyone. How are you doing at that? How are you doing with that regarding some issues of life in this world that you guise as your selfishness regarding things under your faith banner? Are there things that, you know, for example, just make you uncomfortable that you mislabel as wrong, but they're just different? And are they leading to division, even just internally within yourself or maybe between yourself and others that aren't core to the gospel? We need to let the Lord deal with these things within us. Because all the turmoil, all the tension, all the divisive talk, it's just taking up valuable time. It's taken up the valuable time that we have to share the foundation of the gospel, to see people saved. You know, Hebrews, what we just read, it implores us to see to it, didn't it? To see to it that no one falls short of the grace extended by God through Christ. That is to be our focus. And then in the main book of our Bible today that we're looking at in Timothy, Paul continues along these same thoughts in chapter 4. He tells Timothy this: the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Again, under the guise of Christianity. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Strong words, right? But we see it happen amongst the body of believers today, just as Paul and Timothy were observing in their day. So I got to tell you personally, I want to teach and preach Jesus. And even more than that, I want to live like Jesus. So at times, I or the church, I got to tell you, we may not preach the exact thing that everyone wants to hear. But I'm telling you, if we are preaching the love of Christ, if we are preaching unity, which Christ prayed for shortly before his arrest and death, if we are preaching grace, that which Christ extended to individuals and the world when he walked it, and that which he still extends today, if we are preaching the redemption of sin made possible by Jesus Christ, then I gotta tell you, I'm pretty happy with that. I'm happy with that. I mean, if what I say, think about it, if what I say causes unnecessary arguments, unnecessary division, jealousy, evil suspicions, then I'm probably preaching the wrong thing. In fact, Paul says it this way as he begins to conclude this letter. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 2b. Teach these things, what I've been pointing to in this letter, teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings that I've given you promote a godly life. Now, just so that we're all clear, let's pause here. Let's address what these teachings are that Paul is encouraging Timothy to preach. You see, he gives some examples throughout the letter, but we see one, for example, in verse 15 of chapter 1, where he states this. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he came to do. And Paul says, of whom I am the worst. That's the core of our message. That's the essence of the gospel. And Jesus Christ himself, when he walked this earth, he said it about himself. John 14, 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know what? You and I, we can read the very teaching of Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 to 7. In fact, I'd encourage you later to read that. For this is what we stand for, okay? This is what we, the Church of Jesus Christ, defend. And it is what we preach. Now, an easy way to illustrate or to think about what we're talking about today and regarding the topic today is really to think about boulders and pebbles, okay? This mentality of boulders and pebbles. You see, oftentimes Christians spend a lot of time picking up the pebbles of their faith and throwing them at each other. Like with the examples that I shared earlier, you know, situations like COVID, you know, the age of the earth, the timing of the end times, the details of all that. When all the while, guys, we should be and we need be focusing on the boulders of our faith. The boulders, which are the foundation, the cornerstone of what we believe, which is ultimately, again, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's his death. It's his resurrection for the redemption, for the forgiveness of many and any. And as Paul continues in 1 Timothy 6, right after what we just read, he says this, anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over meaningless words and the meaning of words. All this does is it stirs up arguments ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. So there you have it. God's words through Paul, not mine. Humanity in general, even humanity leading his bride, the church, is too often falling for nonsense all around them. And individuals who are not rooted in the foundation of their faith are falling with them. So if you're a believer, will you regularly reflect on what story, what picture, your stances on whatever issue are making for the foundation of the faith? And if you are not yet a believer, or if you're a believer, again, hanging on by a thread who is or has been negatively impacted by proclaiming believers, interacting with one another negatively and living out their faith in bad ways, will you please, I implore you, will you please take your eyes off us and place them on He who is worthy? Because I and all will make mistakes. And I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry if that's happened to you. But I am committed to growing in this. And my prayer is that all Christians everywhere will be. And so I pray that you who are not yet believers yet will look past us and forgive us so that we can all together promote the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Let's all together commit to remaining grounded in the love and the teachings of Jesus and not in the division that mindless arguments can bring. For Paul concludes his encouragement of Timothy with this, the end of chapter 6. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in doing so have departed from the faith. With all that, I'll leave us with this final statement. It's just a final statement to chew on this morning. And as you go from this place, because I believe it sums up much of what we talked about. Here it is. If you look at Jesus through the lens of humanity, he will appear broken and flawed. Meaning that if you look at him through me, if you look at him through me primarily, because I'm a Christian, you're likely going to miss him. You're going to miss him. You're going to be disappointed. But if you look at humanity, if you look at all the people around you, if you look at them through the lens of Jesus Christ, you will see things like beauty, wonder, and you will see that in every person you come across. You will see potential of God's image coming to life. Try it. Try it. Let's together speak love. Let's practice forgiveness. People are watching. Non-believers are especially watching how we engage with other Christians as well as non-Christians. And let's remember the boulders of our faith. And let's not get so caught up throwing the pebbles, okay? And with that, what I want to do is I want to read the Apostles' Creed together, because that really contains the boulder of our faith. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to stand who can. And if you're familiar with the Apostles' Creed, we're going to recite it together today. But if you're not familiar with it, I would never ask you to recite something that you don't know and that you're not familiar with. But I want you to listen to it, okay? Because it contains the boulders of our faith. Let's read it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us the message to share with the world. And it is the best news out there, that there is forgiveness to be had, there is peace to be had with God the Father, our Creator. Lord, we can be forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future, through receiving Jesus Christ. And we believe that he did live. We believe that he did die. But we also believe that he rose again to offer life. Life now and life eternal. That is the core of our message. And for that, we give you thanks, Lord. And you've just got an amazing life now and forever in store for us. And Lord, if there's anybody here that's just never received the forgiveness of Christ, I pray that they would do that right in this moment, that they would just surrender, that they would give up trying to, you know, fight your involvement in their life, because all you want to do is bless them and keep them and do life with them. So Lord, I pray that we would just lay things down so we can receive the gift of salvation. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite our communion servers forward. And as they come up, I'm going to invite you to come forward to receive the elements of communion. If you can't get up here, maybe physically or whatever, raise your hand and someone will bring you the elements. But communion is this time where we together as a church share in a meal together. And, you know, we will talk a little bit more about that, but what this is for people who believe in Jesus Christ, that he died, that he rose again. And what we do in this moment is we proclaim his death until he comes back, as we just read in the Apostles' Creed. He's coming back. He's coming back to judge all. And in our faith, we thank him for that. We thank him that we can be free from eternity, separated from him. So if you're a believer in Christ, this is for you. You don't have to be a member here of the church or anything like that. But what we're going to do is we're going to have you come forward in a second. We're going to have a song going in the background. Take the elements back to your seat. There are gluten-free on the far sides of each of the trays, so you can grab one of those if you need that. But why don't you come, receive communion. We'll take that together in a second.